to explore with you under three headings. So study, faith in the sense of deep conviction, and also a little bit about ritual and metaphor. So these themselves, as practice, would be view, because they'd be trying to put the view into action, to practice. And they all give rise to awareness and to openness, to a kind of vivid noticing and perceiving that can bring stability to our practice, but also a loosening of view and an experience of openness to the new, because we encounter the unknown in each of them. So objectively, okay, view is doctrinal explanation. You know, the general way we ought to regard reality. But subjectively, in my own experience, it seems to me more like, or as much like, coming into contact with and refusing to yield up, somehow, my own sense of what I truly, deeply value in life. What it is any of us want to live out in our practice. What it is, according to Chinese Buddhism, that there is already in us that's pushing to be lived. As Rilke says, your innermost happening is worth all your love. You must somehow work on that. So view as an expression of reality is literally your innermost happening. At the level of yourselves, it's your innermost happening, but your innermost experience of yourself. But as a touchstone for the direction of your practice, view keeps you in touch with what, with the particular expressions of reality that fascinate, that guide, that inspire, that keep you reflecting, that keep faith for you in what burns in you and what burns for you. So view is a tool for working out the secret of your blood, because that leads us into the unknown territory of what life is. So view as a word, just as a word itself, I thought was interesting because it combines the present moment. View means seeing, observing, contemplating, watching the present moment, but also with what we make of that moment. Because view also means opinion, thought, intention, expectation even. So what you see and what you make of what you see combined make up your viewpoint, the mental attitude that determines your opinions, your judgments, your point of view. It seemed to me a place to start anyway might be what I see when I stand in a particular place. That's my view, especially in a habitual place like the ego. But more specifically then, the view is the general way we should regard the existential truths about life, independent of our filters and our preferences. And this is not just how we should regard Buddhism's truth, but how we should regard Buddhism's way of describing what the unknown territory of our life is. So why do we suffer? Well, traditionally, because of the obscuring emotions, the kleshas and the upaklesas. Our constructs for keeping the world in place, keeping it in line with our habitual interpretations, particularly our notion of being, our notion of the ego. So for Asanga says that for ordinary beings, this notion of being is the root of all discursive thought and mental proliferation. This notion of being is what keeps us away from mindfulness. Being is determined, he says, to have essential nature solely by virtue of verbal designation, and as such is clung to by the world for a long time. So our world is as it is, partly because we insist on saying it so. It's actually too simple that, doesn't it? But I don't think it is. Partly it's how it is because we insist on saying it's a certain way, and then we believe ourselves. So this seems to me is the imagined reality, the parikalpita of the Yogacara. And it's also the complexity of the game of ego. Anyways. And compare that with the relentless simplicity and the pared down quality of this, Base your mind on the Dharma. Base your Dharma on a humble life. Base your humble life on the thought of death. Base your death on a lonely cave. Now, in contrast, that's pretty tough. But I did want to ask us, how simple can we bear it? How simple can we bear life? And I'm quite struck by this sort of surge in the order towards pure awareness. Actually, pure awareness meditation practices. And I think that reflects a desire for simplicity, a real desire to get below complexity, a recognition for our need for simplicity in our minds and in our lives. And I was remembering that when I learned to meditate, Milarepa and Padmasambhava were the presiding deities of the Glasgow Centre. So Buddhism first came to me in eagle cries and mountain fastnesses and that kind of thing. So with this view, meditation and action coming more into our parlance, I'm quite excited to be getting a taste of that again.